herzlich willkommen unserem Podcast Sensing Motion Science von und mit Diplom-Ingenieur Sebastian Wille, dem Techie, und Dr. Markus Schmidt, dem Sportwissenschaftler. 3, 2, 1 und los geht's!
Ja, herzlich willkommen zu unserer nächsten Ausgabe von unserem Sensing Motion Science Podcast. Und heute haben wir einen ganz besonderen Gast bei uns, den Christoph de May, den wir gleich auch noch natürlich ausführlich vorstellen werden. Ich möchte aber an der Stelle kurz erwähnen, dass das heute unsere erste Episode sein wird, die wir in Englisch aufzeichnen, beziehungsweise das Interview in Englisch führen. Was einfach den Grund hat, dass Christoph sich da etwas wohler fühlt, wie er uns gerade gesagt hat, und wir das natürlich auch dann entsprechend so umsetzen wollen und können. Und yeah, so now we are switching to English, and I want to welcome Christoph here in our podcast. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much for the kind introduction. Yeah, and sorry for not speaking German to all listeners who are used to listen to the German-speaking guests that have been on your show. But sure, we'll have a very pleasant conversation in English as well. So looking forward to it.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm also happy that you are here. So we needed some months to find a date where we're all at time. But also welcome from my side, Christoph. Nice to have
you here. Thank you, Sebastian.
Yeah, just for our audience, I think Sebastian and Christoph know each other, and I don't know Christoph as good as Sebastian does, and probably our audience also may not know Christoph, and that leads me to my first question. I just want you to ask to give a short introduction about yourself, what you are doing, and why you are here in our podcast now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, on the personal level, husband of a lovely wife and father of two. On a sports level, I've been a basketball player before. And also I worked a bit in the basketball world as a physical therapist. So for several seasons, both in Brussels and Ghent. And then, I was asked to start a PhD in 2007 here in Ghent, which was about exercise training for injury prevention and treatment of overhead athletes in relation to shoulder impingement symptoms. And during that time, I also did another postgraduate, which was about creativity and innovation. And also I had a few friends in that area. And of course, those years was the beginning of the sports tech boom, let's say. So I started to get really interested in all types of technologies, also a bit, let's say, the entrepreneurial side of things. And then as from 2013, I'm coordinating group of people in Ghent University. My role actually is to help researchers in bringing their prototypes and so on to the market and help the industry with research related to Ghent University. So in European terms, that's often called valorization. I know in other areas of the world, that's not really a word that they are familiar with. So that's a consortium that I manage, which is called Victoris. So valorization of research and technology in the area of sport. And based on that, over the years, I have set up a variety of initiatives. One is more related to the early stage startup support here in the region. That project is called SportUp. And there I'm partnering both with the government, but also with the accelerator program of IMEC, which is a large tech institute here. And I'm a bit, let's say, the sports tech startup guy helping those ventures. I also co-founded a nonprofit organization 2018 with another person called Bruno Dulser. And there we're more focused on innovation projects in the area of small federations, schools, governments, so more towards the physical education sector and so on. And finally, also, I think many people know me from the Sports Tech Research Network, which is an initiative that I have set up over the pandemic. So yeah, background in sports, physical therapy, research, and then the last decade, I would say, also everything that relates to startups and university industry collaborations.
That's quite impressive what you have done in the last years. And I think that's I think it's a nice moment. I mean, Marcus was mentioning we know each other. I mean, we had one talk before.
Correct.
I think it's a nice moment here to say thank you to Lotte Kraus, which was visiting your last Sports Tech Research Network event.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Hi, Lotte.
Lotte, exactly. Yeah. She was the reason why we're sitting here now at the end, because she knows our Symposium for Inertials in Zurich and was visiting your event. And she mentioned, oh, you have to talk to each other. And then I know I was writing to you and you were in the middle of the event and then we made the talk, yeah. But maybe let's come to the next question. So could you explain to our listeners your current research and innovation activities in the area of sports and technology? So what's going on right now?
Well, there are a few things going on. Of course, there are a variety of projects in the area of health and performance, which is actually my main area of the projects that I help the researchers with. There's one in particular that maybe I would like to mention, which is actually now a project which is in a spin-off phase. It's actually based on a wearable and an application that measures impact during running and provides real-time feedback to runners based on their impact loading, let's say, on their lower leg. And so a variety of projects have been dealing with that one. And now there are two PhD students that actually finished their PhDs. And I'm helping them in now launching a spin-off based on that work. Yeah, I mean, can go to a variety of projects, but most of them, as I mentioned, are in the health and performance area. There are some others, for example, a professor I work with is Steven Verstockt. He's in the Internet and Data Science Lab here in Ghent. And he's really our sports data science professor, you could say. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a variety of projects in the cycling world for both Flemish federations, but also, for example, for UCI, where they're really bringing together a variety of data sources and then try to come up with relevant advices in terms of safety of cycling events. Pop in with another question, I would say. I can go into other projects as well, but I'm always like at the start of projects or at the end, like setting up the projects. Once they are, let's say, rolling, it's of course up to the people to make it happen. Then for some, I'm more proactive and try to follow up more closely because, yeah, the project has been set up not from a pure scientific curiosity perspective, but from a solution perspective from the start. And then, of course, there are always a few ones that I target to see, like, okay, could this lead to a spin-off? Would an existing company be able and willing to implement this algorithm or this feature, for example? Yeah, which makes it exciting to be involved in a variety of things.
Yeah, thank you. I think you have already given some great insights into those projects. And what would be interesting for us and for our listeners, maybe what do you think, what are the biggest challenges, but also the biggest opportunities, especially in those sports tech related projects? Because I expect a lot of challenges and opportunities, but from your experience, what are the most common points to address during those projects?
Well, I think the main challenge in my experience in, I would say, science-based projects is the difference in objectives sometimes that people have. We all know that the academic world is focused on academic output first, whereas, of course, in industry, creating a solution for a particular problem is put forward. And of course, there is a a nice mix often. And that's the project that I get really excited about, where there is already a company in place, for example, and they have particular research questions for which they don't have the resources or the expertise or the time and so on. Mm-hmm. And then there is a partnership with the university group, which is not only focusing on their academic outputs, but also are really willing to collaborate and really try to fine-tune the research questions and the actual work packages mm-hmm. of those projects towards the needs of for example, the company or the startup. So the short answer is, I think the academic world, in my opinion, is a bit in a difficult situation now, and individuals within academia are in a very difficult situation as well, because if you go for an academic career, you know you need to focus on PhDs and publications and books and so on and so on. So it's often difficult for young researchers who also have that other lens to blend academic objectives with also objectives towards actual creation of actual solutions. So that's for me, for sure, a very important one. If you look at it from a sports or you could say consumer perspective, I think the most or the biggest challenge there, I guess, will be it's a jungle now. There are so many products out there. People really are often a bit confused, or sometimes they just don't know that there are already 10 or 15 solutions or even more out there for the question they have. And sometimes they start up on a micro level. They even start up new developments with people where sometimes you jump in a discussion, say like, okay, but wait a second, before spending a lot of money, have you looked at this and that and that? So from an end user perspective, I think the challenge will be to bring in more clarity, try to come up with, and that's maybe something that we can discuss later as well, but we try to come up with frameworks to help end users evaluating the quality of a technology and so on. Maybe final point on this one, from an industry perspective, of course, it's also becoming more and more difficult really to innovate. You see big companies acquiring smaller ones. So the ecosystem is changing a little bit. And I think years ago, yeah, if you had some technical capabilities and some smart people who know sports a little bit, you were still able to create a nice product and do something valuable. Not saying that this is not anymore possible, but I guess over the years, yeah, if you really want to come up with something innovative, yeah, you'll need to do a bit crazy stuff, let's say. Or you need to keep it really simple. If you go into a hackathon format, for example, for sure X amount of teams will come up with, we're gonna build an app that brings together people to do sports. But to really be successful with these type of solutions that don't really include, I would say, certain algorithms or certain sports scientific expertise and so on. Yeah, it will become more and more difficult for those type of projects to really stand out and really create something that is not yet being built before. So from a startup perspective, sometimes you have very entrepreneurial people, but you need to help them then with really fine-tuning what they need to do and shouldn't do because of the thousands of solutions that are already out there and often also attract a lot of money from an investor standpoint, of course.
I think Marcus and me have the same experience that people want to make the same things again and again and again and don't look what's really out there already. Or on the other side, they are doing something without having a clear goal. That's the other thing what we are oftentimes observe. So they're just, we want to do something and let's take an Arduino, let's take some GitHub libraries, let's make something. Yeah. And then something is coming out, but not really what is helpful at the end.
Correct.
But maybe in terms of a multidisciplinary or let's say even cross-industry collaboration, so input from other disciplines, other sports, other technologies, academic fields, and so on. Is there anything you think of which you could help to accelerate your projects?
Well, in my opinion, it's always important to look at indeed what's been done in other fields. And maybe some people have seen a LinkedIn post that I did last week. But my main interest is going to the interaction between the sports tech world, the health tech world, and the medical field. And for example, something as behavioral change methodologies, for example. Often they're well implemented in certain mobile health applications for patient X, Y, and Z. Whereas, for example, in the sports fields, this is not something that we regularly see. Whereas, why not in a sports context, even if it's a performance-focused solution, it's also humans that interact with the application or the platform. And so why shouldn't we learn from behavioral change methodologies and which features could be effective for certain use cases, not only from a health and therapeutic perspective, but also for a sports perspective. So that's just an example of those interactions between sports, health, and medical fields. But of course, it goes even much broader, of course. The typical examples of what's happening in Formula One and try to bring it to other sports, and what's happening on the elite level, bring it to the amateur level, and so on. So that's, for me, was one of the motivations to start with that Sports Tech Research Network initiative, because there are already a lot of associations and societies and events related to that within certain verticals, sports science and nutrition and sports medicine and physical therapy and so on and so on, but not really focused on those multidisciplinary interactions, and also not really focused on that cross-industry aspect, if you look at it from an industrial standpoint. And so what could help and accelerate those projects for me is try to bring those people that are interested to learn from other sectors and fields together and try to set up more and more projects.
Yeah, I think this is maybe the biggest common part of our projects, of our work we share, because that's one thing we like to do as well, and get people in touch with each other and getting people from a lot of different disciplines in touch with each other and connect them, make good projects, because I just can agree with your thoughts that this interdisciplinary work is necessary to accelerate all the developments we will have, or we had and we will have in future. And when thinking some years later, then what do you think, where can or how will sports tech develop and look like in maybe 5 or 10 years, just to give a philosophical point of view?
That's of course a difficult one to answer. Maybe that's a first reflection that I always have. There are people studying this again from a scenario planning perspective, from an innovation perspective, of course. And of course, all depends on how the world will change. Our environment will determine to what extent we will still use technology, how we will use it, what types of technologies will be out there, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, now, the last couple of months, it's all about AI, how this will change the world. And of course, if it changes a lot of fields, it will also change the way we do and consume sports. Well, I want to come back maybe on the different perspectives that I mentioned in one of the previous questions. If I look at it from the end user perspective, it's not getting easier, right? With with more and more things out there and things becoming more and more complex. And how will you ever understand what are you actually doing with a certain type of technology? What's happening with your data and so on? Of course, from a European standpoint, this is a very big topic now in different areas. But primarily, I guess, in health, with the health data spaces and different technologies to protect the data of individuals. In summary, looking at from an end-user perspective, I hope it's technologies are becoming more trustworthy and in the end, more effective. Effective meaning if I use an application and I use it to prevent a certain injury because I had the injury before, for example, well, now I don't have any idea to what extent a certain application is really capable of doing this, right? So I hope in 10 years, we'll have more and more digital technologies that have shown to a certain extent that they can be effective in reaching a certain goal for a certain population. Again, it's an example of linking between what's happening in the medical fields, where then there it's all regulated, of course, there are processes. That's then, of course, the disadvantages sometimes from an entrepreneurial perspective that we take. But on the other hand, I think it's a very important topic. If from a societal and sports perspective, we want technology to be really effective in the end, right? To stimulate people to do sports, to prevent injuries, to help them in being more efficient during training and so on. From the academic side, I hope in 10 years there will be, I think the academic system will not drastically change, although in my ideal world, it would and it should. And already for decades, there have been very detailed suggestions in literature and so on how this could be done. So I'm hopeful, but if in 10 years there would be more and more people that see the benefits of being a high-level academic, but also being involved in industry. And even there is research from a group in the UK actually that studied or ask themselves the questions like those people that really focus on, for example, commercializing their research, are they then becoming worse researchers because they spent all of that time on the commercialization aspect? Or is it contrary? Is it those people that interact with other individuals and come up with new options for project funding and maybe have more patents and so on? It's actually the second. It's actually the latter one. So I hope there are more and more individuals that are able to combine both objectives, looking at from an academic standpoint. And then, of course, from the industrial standpoint, from the company side, there I think we'll see more and more acquisitions again. It's already happening for quite some years. And yeah, hopefully the best stand out and not only those who have access to the most money, right? On the other hand, you need financial resources to improve your product and do the R&D and so on. So that's also...
Especially in science.
especially in science, exactly. So how big tech is influencing the whole thing and how larger corporations besides Apple and so on are positioning themselves, I'm curious to see.
No, definitely. And I think interdisciplinary is a nice keyword. I just opened our flyer from the last symposium Financials in Zurich. And regarding artificial intelligence, we had Martin Ciblocca. He was saying, okay, most people are doing, we are collecting a lot of data. Then we look what we can use, and then we make something out of it. But it should be the other way around. So for example, and we had also one guy from the medical sector here, we had engineering, we had from the sports technology. So I think that should be also what you mentioned, like in the real world at the end.
Yeah. Also, I think, and I had a nice example a few weeks ago. I was at the local basketball club where I played before, and they asked us the question, like, yeah, we look, we're very ambitious and we want to be more data driven. And, could you help us a little bit with our strategy and what to use and not to use and so on and so on. And long story short, after the conversations, I was like, before I found like 20 or 30 basketball specific solutions that they could use and so on. And after all the conversations was like, no, Christoph, that's all too difficult. We just want to have a camera, a button to record the matches. And if the coaches have access to the images, that would be awesome. That's the thing. right. So there is such a disbalance between what's possible from a technological level and in some other areas of sports and on the elite level. And then you go to your local basketball team where hundreds of kids are playing, right? They use actually nothing. Then there is a leadership in place that tries to do something. And you can't even find such a simple thing. They all like have X amount of features, which then also come with a higher price tag, of course. So so that's something else that I hope that type of gap between the field often, of course, I'm talking amateur sports and what's possible from a technological standpoint. I hope that gap becomes a little bit.
And we need then those people who can use all the systems and handle with the
exactly,
data.
Exactly.
Because especially in those sports, we don't have those.
Exactly.
People.
Exactly. And, yeah. I'm quite sure if you would put such a system there, even it's really simple, if you don't educate the people, if there's not somebody responsible for it and so on, nothing will happen even with a simple piece of technology.
Yeah. And then I am back at the academic research scientific community, because I see that we then need to educate those people in very different ways we do it at the moment. And this has to change also. And I share your hopefulness, but I also share your doubts you presented.
Yeah, that's one of the, I'm giving a small course on sports technology and innovation here in Ghent. Actually, it's not the core of my job, but I'm allowed to teach a little bit. And I also, experienced this looking at, let's say, second master students, so the fifth year that they are in university. Yeah, they still have very limited awareness about what's happening. And now it's a small course, but I mean the whole technology data aspects, not only from a scientific analytical perspective, but also then more and more from but how do you use this in practice? I think we'll see that more and more in different university colleges and universities around the world. And of course, this is already the case, but we'll see it more and more. And there's a big need for this as well.
Yeah. So thanks at the moment for all those insights, because I think there are a lot of pretty interesting points you made. And for me, I think just one last question, maybe. Is there anything else you want to tell or want to share with our audience? Because I think you have a lot of experience, especially in those connections of academia, industry, customer, etc. And this is always our standard question at the end.
At the end.
Nearly at the end. If you just want to tell something you ever wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I mean, be kind to each other, be open to listen and ask questions. And look, we nobody has all the answers. If you combine that with, let's say, the advice or the suggestion, like keep doing all the awesome stuff that you're doing, because there's so many things happening. I think both of you and I didn't know both of you like. Until some months ago. I'm already a decade in this field. I mean, there's so many interesting people and organizations doing great work. So I would say be kind to each other, listen, try to find win-win situations, and in the end do something valuable for sports and society. I think if we would be able to move forward this way, then I would be a very happy man, let's say.
Cool. Yeah. So thanks also from my side for this very nice interview. And just looking on the time, it was very interesting, and time was passing fast, very fast.
Yeah.
And for our audience, if you want to ask Christoph something, feel free to connect Marcus or me. We will forward all the questions to Christoph.
Perfect.
And I think you're open for it, hopefully.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, thanks for being here and giving all those insights. And I really hope to see you again, maybe find some good ways to find some projects together or whatever it will be, because I really can support your answer to my last question. Being kind, being open-minded offers a lot of opportunities. And yeah, thanks for joining us, and really looking forward to see you, meeting you again.
Thank you very much for the invitation and for the nice chat. Yeah.
All right, dann ja, mache ich wieder am Ende kurz auf Deutsch und bedanke mich bei allen Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörern. Wenn euch die Episode gefallen hat, gebt uns ein kurzes Feedback, meldet euch gerne bei uns. Und danke nochmal an Christoph und ja, bis zur nächsten Folge.
Bis dann, tschüss.
Tschüss.
Ich freue mich, dass du bis zum Ende der heutigen Folge mit dabei geblieben bist. Wenn auch du Teil des Podcasts werden möchtest, Ideen oder Feedback für uns hast, dann melde dich jetzt gerne unter podcast@inertialsensorik.com.